It's been more than a year and a half since Hurricane Maria tore through the Caribbean. The Category 5 storm killed several thousand people in Puerto Rico. The precise numbers are still uncertain. The entire population of the island lost power. Most people lost access to clean water. In some cases, it took as long as 11 months to restore electricity. The government's been modernizing the island's power grid and looking for lessons from other places, including Hawaii. Lorraine Akiba served on the Hawaii Public Utilities Commission from 2012 until last year. Just last month, she gave the keynote address at a conference in Puerto Rico, bringing together government officials, industry experts, and others looking at the island's energy future. She and I spoke about energy threats to island communities from Puerto Rico to Hawaii. We started our conversation about cautionary examples that Puerto Rico's situation has for Hawaii and lessons that Hawaii may have for Puerto Rico.
I think what it is just is rekindling that island sense of sustainability. That's what we can share with each other. And other islands across the world right now are doing that, whether it's in the Caribbean. They've pledged to be a carbon neutral zone, you know, and other islands. Well, we know that Pacific islands are facing the impacts of climate change. So it's really, how do you address the challenges? How can we adapt? How can we mitigate climate change impacts and severe weather impacts? And how can we move forward? And those actions can come from our roots as island people and what we did sustainably in ancient times. Much of what we learned from Native Hawaiian sustainability practices of managing our island ecosystem from the top of the mountain, Ahupua'a, down to the ocean. And as we're seeing that now with severe extreme weather as a new normal. It's we've got droughts on certain parts of the island. You have rain bombs that, it's not just hurricanes in April 15th, Kauai, that broke the record in the country for the most rain in a 24-hour period. And that's just catastrophic. And that's happened on Oahu, too. There's these rain bombs that just blast, the island with rain within a very short period of time. And so we have to be resilient. We have to figure out how do we adapt to that and have community resilience centers to keep major infrastructure like water, wastewater, facilities up and running, or first responder areas, whether that's fire stations or hospitals or schools that can serve that triage function to house people temporarily, to provide shelter, a place to have food and warmth and bring up some electricity so we can rebound from that.
Looking at Puerto Rico, a lot of people in Hawaii look at Puerto Rico as the nightmare scenario, just being devastated in terms of the power grid. And looking at Hawaii, then what if something like that would happen here?
Exactly. And so that we need to prepare. We need to learn lessons. And I think that's what Puerto Rico can share, is learning lessons. And they're actually, they're one of the 100, San Juan is one of the 100 resilient cities, just like Honolulu is. We were chosen and part of the Rockefeller Foundation's initiative to develop resilience action plans. And so the Office of Climate Change, Sustainability, and Resiliency for the city and county of Honolulu, which is all of Oahu, is doing that now. And there's, I think it's going to be released shortly, a final, action plan for that. But we are at ground zero. We're at ground zero for any climate impacts, whether that's hurricane directly passing over or sea level rise, which can be an insipid thing. Sea level rise, as we slowly go underwater near the shoreline, we see that with the king tides.
Sure.
We see that with the freshwater aquifers now becoming salty, less freshwater supply. We see that with some of our Pacific Island neighbors are already underwater. They're climate refugees that come to Hawaii because their islands are already underwater.
And for, again, just civilian folks who are not necessarily climate experts themselves, there's concern. And whereas Hawaii has lofty goals, certainly, aspirational directions in terms of actually moving along that path?
I think that is exactly, you hit that right on the head, Bill. It's like, we have that to share. That is the best practice and the vision that we can share with Puerto Rico. And they're implementing some of that because, you know, solar and storage, microgrids, which would become community resilient centers in the event of a disaster, be able to basically island off the larger grid so everything doesn't go down, right? Using solar behind the meter, all of our rooftop solar, customers can be part of a solution where if we use the technology that's now available in the new solar PV panels, there's a lot of smart technology, power control systems in the inverters that can still provide power to houses or put power into the batteries.
And assuming that we have an overall grid that can handle all of that. And
exactly. You're showing your knowledge, Bill. It's so important. And that's why one of the key matters in front of the Public Utilities Commission when I was a commissioner was the grid modernization and the grid infrastructure. There's so much that needs to be improved. And it's not just hardening that structure for restoration and response. It's really making that a integrated energy network of the future because the grid is so important. I mean, the utility, has been grappling with business model transformation and energy transformation in Hawaii. All the utilities have, whether it's the Hawaiian Electric Companies or KIUC, and they're trying to use innovation, trying to upgrade the technology, trying to use the technology, whether that's fully dispatchable solar and storage, peaker plants that were not available even 5 years ago because the battery storage technology was not at that level and the pricing was not at that level. So now solar costs are coming down, energy storage costs are coming down, renewables are actually more cost effective than fossil fuels. So it is an opportunity as well as a challenge, but there's a lot of opportunity here to modernize the grid.
You run the PUC at a time, 2012 to 2018, time of tremendous change in a regulatory sense. But in terms of change actually on the ground and actually to people's meters, how far along are we and what do you look for as some markers along the way?
Well, I think in Hawaii's case, we are far along. And that's why we are always out there and people are asking Hawaii, can you share what you've been through? Lessons learned as well, not where not to go and what mistakes we've learned from and learn from our mistakes as well as our best practices. Hawaii has the highest amount, was it 1 in 3 households have rooftop PV and more customers because the cost of behind-the-meter battery storage, whether they're commercial customers or residential customers, are putting battery storage on their facilities, which is a great resource in time of disaster. Like I said, if you can, like a microgrid, you can island off so the whole grid doesn't go down. You have pockets of energy and pockets of electricity that still stay up and running, so we don't have that catastrophic scenario that Puerto Rico went in terms of, the whole island going black, and that was what Black Start 2019 was about. How do we transform the way we run the energy systems and how do we use the best portfolio of resources, natural resources that we have? And in Hawaii, we're blessed. We have solar, we have wind, we have, we've used waste to energy to power hydro. We've got hydro resources.
and we've got oil, we've got coal.
Right. And it is really a transition. There has to be a commitment. And so that's where the legislation has come in. I think, we're heralded for having the 100% renewable, the first 100% renewable portfolio standard in the country. California gets all the big buzz because they're huge. And I think everybody's grateful for California following because they set the market with the volumes of what they can do in their big state. It really helps the market. So prices, the market can develop and renewable energy prices continue to be cost competitive. Technology can continue to be cost competitive like energy storage.
So let me ask you two things in closing. One of what makes you concerned and what gets you excited in terms of Hawaii's energy future?
I think what makes me excited is that everybody has a common vision here. We all agree we want to get there. I think what may keep me up at night is we don't control the various factors that will critically impact our ability to actually achieve that. So we don't control the external forces, whether it's natural disasters or geopolitical events. So all the more urgency, we got to get there, and we have to keep deliberate and diligent efforts to do that, because time is not on our side. And I think you saw the UN Climate Assessment Report. Even if we achieve 45%, the damage is done. We need to deal with the reality as it sits now, and some of that is not a bright picture. So we really must be diligent. We must not give up. We must be resolute, because we will get there. And I think we learn from a Native Hawaiian culture, which is I always refer to this as the Polynesian voyagers navigated and circumnavigated the world in uncharted waters, in very harsh waters, by keeping their eye on the North Star, by navigating by the stars. And we need to keep that in mind, never lose our focus, and keep moving forward.
Lorraine, thanks very much for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you.
Lorraine Akipin, attorney who served on the Public Utility Commission of Hawaii from 2012 until last year, now is the president and CEO of LHA Ventures and a member of the Resiliency Strategy Steering Committee for the City and County of Honolulu.